Grace, mercy, and peace be to you from God, our Father, and our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ, this Advent season. Our text for today is from the Old Testament, from 2 Samuel chapter 7, verse 17. God said to David, "Your house and your kingdom will endure forever before me. Your throne will be established forever." We're coming to the end of our 150th year at St. John Lutheran Congregation, and it's time to think a little bit about looking back over the year at our celebration. How did it go? Did you attend some of the special gatherings? We had a seminary choir, we had a seminary president, we had a district president preach to us, several meals. In fact, even Martin Luther himself made a visit to us a few weeks ago, didn't he? I wonder how long the memories of this celebration will last in our minds. This church has been the source of peace and spiritual growth and security for generation after generation. But how long will it continue, do you think? 50 years? 100 years? Another 150 years? If we could only see the future, it will endure as long as the Christ of Scripture is in the hearts and the homes of the people of St. John. As long as that happens, this congregation will continue on very well. This reminds us of our text that we read about the year 1000 BC. King David decided that he wanted God's name to be remembered among his people long after he was gone. And so he wanted to build a church for the Lord. This wasn't just any church, but this was a temple. And the temple was going to be an engineering marvel for its day, a wonder of the ancient world. Now, when a great king would set out to build such a structure and dedicate it to the Word and the memory of God, you'd think God would be pleased. Well, God comes to David through the prophet Nathan and asks him, "Why do you want to build me a temple? I've never needed one before. All those generations of people I've watched over, even those 40 years in the wilderness and those years of history up to David's reign, everywhere the people went, I was with them. I never asked for a building to be built for me." So God said no to David. He wouldn't build a temple for God. But God turned the whole thing around and he said that he would build a house for David. Now, it wasn't going to be a residence to live in. No, it was going to be a dynasty. God promised that one of David's children would be king over Israel after David died. And he would continue the throne. In fact, this monarchy, the Lord said in our text, would continue for a long time. In fact, God said the house of David and the kingdom would endure forever. It would never end. Now, David didn't build that temple, but his son Solomon did. This temple stood for about 1,000 years. Actually, there were two temples. The first one lasted from 1000 to 586 BC, and it was destroyed by the Babylonians who conquered Israel. And the second temple went from about 500 BC to 70 AD when the Roman Empire destroyed it. The kingdom was almost taken away from David's family immediately after Solomon through David's grandson Rehoboam. He was such a mean king that right after he was crowned, the people revolted in the northern 10 kingdoms. And they set up their own king. His name was Jeroboam. He had no relation to David at all. Only Judah and Benjamin, two tribes, were left to carry on the promise of God. But because these people eventually lost their faith in God and turned to the false gods and the idols, all of them were eventually carried off into slavery. And the house of David And the promise came that close to dying out. What about that promise? What about that temple? Did God go back on his word? Well, the temple stood for almost 1,000 years, history records. Jesus, the Son of God, lived in Mary's temple for only 9 months. And then he was born. A child born of David's family, a child of God's promise. He never sat on a throne like David did. And yet, he was a king unlike any other. Jesus ruled over his people not with decrees and proclamations or a mighty army that we can see, but he ruled over his people in humility. He never wore gold or fine clothing, as kings do. His advisors were illiterate fishermen and others. His greatest followers were the poor, the lame, and the blind. His crown was not made of gold, but of thorns adorned with the jewels of blood and sweat. He was a servant king, and he served us well. Now, every king fears a coup. Every elected official immediately starts thinking about how to get reelected the next time. But Jesus, the Son of David, his kingdom lasts forever. And so do all his true subjects. He lives within them, and they will live in his kingdom forever. But earthly temples are destroyed. Mary died. Where on earth does God live today? In you? What kind of temple are you? What's your dwelling place like for the Lord, for him to come and live in you? What have you done to get your soul ready for Christ to live there? Around our house right now, there's a lot of activity. We have 14 people staying in our house, and they're here today. You want to ask them how that went. If I look bleary-eyed this morning, there's a good reason for that. But it's really a joy to have family over. And Lisa and I and Lily are so glad that her parents and her brother and sister and their families came and stayed with us. You know, you spend a lot of time getting ready for this kind of event and planning and all that. Well, I don't do much, but my wife sure did. The point is, you can clean and you can straighten your home and get it ready for the holidays, as so many of you will be doing this week. But you can't clean your inside. You can't clean your own heart. How would you do it anyway? You see, Jesus is the house builder, and he's also the house cleaner. He sends the Holy Spirit through the preaching and teaching of his word to build a temple inside us for the Lord. And he regularly visits us to clean that temple. How does he clean the house of our soul? We sing about it here at St. John so often as we sing in our services and pray from Psalm 51, where it says, "Create in me a clean heart, O Lord, and renew a right spirit within me. Cast me not away from your presence, or take your Holy Spirit from me. Restore to me the joy of your salvation, and uphold me with your free spirit." David's got it right. God's got to clean our soul. We can't do it ourselves, but he can. He cleans our soul when he puts that old sinner in us to death, when he kills him or her dead, drowning that old sinner in baptism and repentance. We look around and we see our country is changing. Behaviors are changing. Traditions are changing. Values are changing. Things that used to be hidden from society, we were embarrassed about just a few years ago, are now proudly displayed for all to see. It's a different world now. But we are changing along with it. Our souls get weighed down. like King David's did when he fell in love with Bathsheba, and this was another man's wife, and this sin caused him to fall in deeper and deeper into sin in order to have her. But when he finally woke up and he came to the realization of his sin, he cried out to God and his soul was cleansed. God wants to cleanse our souls each day so that we can continue to be a part of his kingdom too. And that's what Jesus was born into the world to do for us. Christmas is just a week away. Come to Bethlehem. Come and worship beside the manger where Jesus will be born. Here you will find no earthly show or splendor, but you will find a poverty which makes us eternally rich and a lowliness which brings us to eternal glory. Come with me to Bethlehem and hear how the eternal love of God has come down to us. As the manger of the incarnate Son of God, the house of David continues today, and God's love and righteousness are united. Peace is proclaimed to all people. Cleanse our hearts, O great God, so that we can celebrate the birth of your Son in a way that is right and proper. You have built a great house for your people, O Lord. Cleanse us by the blood of your Son, that we may live with you forever. In the name of Jesus, our King who comes to save us. Amen. And the peace of the Lord be with you always.